When I think about Acock Elementary School and the Opportunity Culture model that has been at play there for some time, I can say that I'm very proud of the work they've done through this model. I feel very secure in saying that a great deal of the success can be found in the Opportunity Culture model.
Welcome to Opportunity Culture Audio. I'm Sharon Kepschel Barrett. Since 2017, the Vance County School System has worked to improve teacher retention and student learning by using the Opportunity Culture model, which extends the reach of excellent teaching to more students. Throughout the effects of COVID and a transition to a new superintendent, this rural North Carolina district has continued to adjust and strengthen its use of the model. We went back this spring to talk with Superintendent Cindy Bennett about what the district has learned, and we focused on Acock Elementary, now in year six of implementation and exceeding the state's expectations for student learning growth. For Bennett, accountability and fidelity to the model have proved especially important.
I think when I consider at a granular level what really has brought about the increase in student performance, the enhanced student learning, the retention of teachers at Acock and some of our other Opportunity Culture model schools, I would say it is role clarification, understanding who's responsible for what in the building, and the collaborative effort around coaching, everyone being coached up, and our staff not seeing coaching as for those who are deficient in something. I think also having a principal who understands and values varied members of her staff on her leadership team and values their opinions, values the work that they're doing, and sees them as a true professional. That's important. The principal there is very open to a shared leadership model, a collaborative leadership model. She holds everyone accountable, including herself. So I think it's a little bit of a lot of things around the model, but it really has been implemented with fidelity at Acock.
Acock uses multi-classroom leader, or MCL, teaching teams. In these teams, an excellent educator in the multi-classroom leader role leads a small team, providing guidance and frequent on-the-job coaching while continuing to teach for part of the day, often by leading small group instruction. In districts using this role, the leaders are accountable for the results of all the students on the team. They earn pay supplements averaging 20% of teacher pay, and up to 50%, funded within the regular school budget. Schools may also use higher paid roles for team teachers who extend their reach to more students and for advanced paraprofessionals who support them, especially through small group tutoring. From both Bennett and Acock staff members, we heard the phrase return on investment. And at Acock, Bennett says, Principal Kristen Boyd and her team leaders deliver.
You know, when Vance County began our journey with the Opportunity Culture model among our schools. There was another superintendent in this seat, but I managed the project pretty much. And I can say I bought into the model very quickly. Having spent my career in curriculum instruction, it just made good sense. So I would say Acock immediately with Principal Boyd, she looked at a way that she could improve some of the protocols and processes and standard operating procedures she already had in her building, looking at how she could get the best possible return on instructional investment from every member in that building, and being very transparent with recognition of skills and opportunities for growth for each staff member. So again, sometimes it is just being brutally honest with yourself and with others that you can get to the granularity of how we improve, how we move to the next level.
Despite the deep disruption of COVID, schools persevered, with the MCL role making a difference across the district.
Even during the pandemic, the coaches, the MCLs, the principal, the leadership team, our conversations across the district continued as if nothing had changed because the teachers still needed the support and the coaching, even though they were in a virtual environment teaching through technology tool. There was still the need for support for instruction. So I think that's one thing that was sustainable. We've changed teachers throughout this time. Turnover rate has been very low at that school, but they too have had some turnover. But whoever enters that building, they learn very quickly that there is a culture of team, of collaboration, of everyone needs to be coached up. And even Miss Boyd, she's always, what do I need to do differently? What can I do better? And it's not just those feelings of, I think there's something I should do. It's always a data-driven decision. It's all about what the metrics say. Always keeping your finger on the pulse of the school, holding yourself and others accountable. That's nothing new in the district as far as data collection and studying and analyzing the data. What I think we have pushed forward with in the last 3 to 5 years truly is, now that I know this, what am I going to do about it? And so I think opportunity culture models really helps us with what I refer to as 4 levels of execution. At the district, we know the district data. Level 2, at the schools, the principals understand their school data as it relates to the district data, as it relates to state data. And then level 3, the teachers know their performance, their data, as it relates to the school. But most importantly, it has to go to level 4. The students have to understand their data. How are they performing based on where they should be as we look at personalized learning plans and individualized growth plans and things of that sort. So the MCL role and their great focus and emphasis on data analysis, what are our next steps? What's our action planning around that? Has been very helpful and impactful in our opportunity culture model schools, but also in other schools. Their knowledge and understanding of data collection and analysis has also impacted our instructional staff.
At Vance, Bennett followed Anthony Jackson as superintendent. Jackson, who was the 2020 Superintendent of the Year for North Carolina, introduced opportunity culture models to the district. Although the transition was eased by Bennett moving up from her role as assistant superintendent, which included overseeing opportunity culture implementation, she says those times of transition can bring change and disruption to current initiatives.
I think sustainability of a model like opportunity culture, once there's a transition in leadership, could be pretty tricky if there aren't adequate conversations around the value. And if the district and the previous superintendent has not made the data available and identified the impact that the opportunity culture model has made. If not, it might just look like another model, another program, another plan. I think communication of opportunity culture, the body of work, the impact of the body of work is pivotal in sustainability, even with the same leader, but especially if you transition with a new leader, a new superintendent. We try to make sure as a district that when we're sharing data, that we are deliberate in saying growth in a traditional school, growth in a school using the opportunity culture model, because we always want to keep it at the forefront of our board's mind. So they know, Oh, yes, we can look at the growth that this school's making. Oh, yes, we can look at the retention rate of teachers there. It's amazing. Why can't the other schools do this? And so they begin to really connect the dots of the impact. And there have not been any questions about why do we continue this work? Because I think the data, I know the data speaks for itself. And it's very clear to see the positive impact on instruction, on student performance, on retention, not only for staff, but also for the principals.
And to sustain a change as significant as moving to a new strategic staffing model, a school system needs both superintendent support and support throughout the district offices.
It cannot be a superintendent or a curriculum and instruction driven initiative. It has to be embedded throughout the entire district in all aspects of the work that we're doing. So it really is about helping everyone around the table to understand the impact. And then it just flows. It just flows. We embed practices and protocols and procedures that we've used throughout the opportunity culture model in our leadership meetings. So everyone knows that it's not just for a couple of schools who use a model. It's because it's best practice, it's research-based, and we're getting the impact and the results that we want. I just know that in order for opportunity culture specifically to work, it has to be part of the core work of the district, because coaching and teacher support is a priority for every district. No matter how your students are performing, we all have new teachers, new to the country, new to the district, new to the school, new to the content, new to the grade level. And new teachers need to be supported. And this is probably the very best, most effective way that we can support and retain high-quality teachers.
As part of that support for new and experienced teachers, Vance leaders are focused on professional learning, and opportunity culture teaching teams make PD that meets each teacher's needs possible.
Personalizing our professional development is something that we're really working diligently on, because our teachers aren't widgets, neither are our kids. And so we talk a lot about personalized learning for our students. We have to do personalized professional learning for our staff. And this is something that does that for us, because you have your own coach who knows you very well and can connect you with either others on your team or others in the building or someone in another school who might be able to add some value to some of the things that you're doing. That's collaboration at its finest. And it really tears down a lot of walls of competition. It really is about everyone needs to be coached up, and that's what we're trying to do.
It has helped, Bennett said, to have the district's newly created role of Opportunity Culture Director, filled by Casey Jackson, who has been a principal in another district and previously led an MCL team at Acock Elementary, a job she described as the best of both worlds, teaching and leading.
In the role of superintendent, I do not have the luxury of spending as much time as I would like in curriculum and instruction. That has always been my passion. Having said that, the opportunity culture model itself and the impact that is very visible in ACOG, but also in some of our other opportunity culture model schools, I wanted to see it continue to grow. So I knew that it was important that I had someone else who kept their finger on the pulse of it every single day, because it isn't something that every now and then you have a meeting about or you just talk about at a leadership meeting periodically. It has to be part of your core mission and vision, the work that you're doing. And when I think about our strategic plan, one of our pillars is a high-performing organization. And so what better way to enhance the performance of your organization than with the use of an opportunity culture model? So I thought that it was time for me to find someone who understood it, who believed in it, who had lived it. So Casey became our director. And she not only supports those who are in the role supporting this model, but having been a principal herself, she also has been a great support to some of the other principals. And sometimes they don't necessarily need support as much as just collaborative conversations. And she's done a great job with that as well. It's almost levels of execution in reverse, because teachers were needing support. Casey was good for that. Principals were needing support, so she's helping to pull that together. And so then she has a voice around this table so that other directors and other members of cabinet are clearly aware of what's taking place within these schools and the support that we need from all of the other areas.
At ACOC, Bennett identifies having both a strong principal and a collaborative team of leaders as keys to firmly embedding opportunity culture roles and structures in a school.
When I think of all of the work that has taken place at ACOG, the leader, of course, is pivotal. I mean, she's a leader who understands a model so intently and holds others accountable for it with such fidelity that if she were to walk away today, it is embedded in the culture of the school. It would continue. And other schools and other teachers are saying, that's the place to be. That's where I want to work. I know how hard they're working. I see what they're doing, but I also see the joy that the return on the investment of instruction is making. So again, it's about true commitment and following a model that you believe in with integrity.
Maintaining positive results from using opportunity culture roles requires first staying true to a rigorous selection process for team leaders.
Because of the positive impact that the opportunity culture model has made here in our district, we hold ourselves at a high level of accountability for ensuring that we recruit, select, and identify the best possible people to serve in these positions. So I think our accountability starts at ground zero with clarification of our job description and the expectations for what that candidate is able to demonstrate to us in an interview. We use the behavior event interview. We ask them to provide key data. We ask them to actually share with us their resolution to a problem or practice. So there's some key things that we expect of them even as we are considering moving forward with hiring them. So we have to start by holding ourselves accountable, saying that we will not just place someone in the position, or we just will not select someone who's in the district because they're here and we need to fill this position. So we stood pretty firmly on that. So once they're here, we also hold them accountable for results.
Then the district holds firm to ensuring that team leaders' time is protected from extra duties, such as covering for others' absences, so they have adequate time to both teach and lead.
We also guard their time. Their work is too valuable for them to end up sitting at the front desk, but we really do put value on the value they add. And I think they know that we respect what they're doing. And as I've said to principals, you know, if you really see the value in this work, then we must act that way. And that means that you do not take them away from their primary responsibility.
Because schools often repurpose their funding for a teacher vacancy to fund pay supplements for the remaining teaching team members, class sizes may be a bit bigger. Because of the support teachers get from the team leader and advanced paraprofessionals, Bennett says that's a trade-off that teachers are comfortable with.
There are trade-offs, but having the right people in the right position who are able to support the teachers, the return on that investment is there. So having classes that may have 3 to 4 students more on an average 300-student school, it's going to happen. But as with any model, there are trade-offs. But with the right person in that MCL position and the right principal monitoring and holding accountable, you will get the results. The teachers on that team will become stronger. They will feel supported. So I think that if you ask the teachers in an opportunity culture model school, that they would say, I'd rather have a few more students in my classroom because the support I get is overwhelming and it helps me do a much better job with my students.
After 7 years of working with this model, Bennett has a few lessons she's learned.
Just remember how important it is to be flexible in how the leadership in a building looks. And I go back to, while the principal is to be the instructional leader, is accountable for the instruction in the building, that team of 3, 4, 5, depending on how the model looks in that building, is very important. So it's really made me look back at what's the best leadership model for a building. And I'll tell you right now, it's to have opportunity culture positions within that building as well as that principal. And those folks need a place at the table. That voice has to be heard. It has to be heard because we're seeing the impact of it at ACOC and have for years. If I could say one thing to a superintendent moving into a district position where the opportunity culture model exists, even if it's not strong at this point in time, I would say give it time. It is the vehicle that will carry you wherever it is that you want to carry that district. Because whatever your priorities are, you can always find within the opportunity culture model the supports, the strategies, the ideas, the basic principles that would carry you forward. It's something that isn't time sensitive. It isn't trendy. It's just good common sense.
Thanks to Superintendent Bennett for her time, and thanks to you for listening. To learn more, use the search bar at the bottom of opportunityculture.org to read more about Vance County and its educators.